morning is a very familiar passage for most of us, if not all of us, and comes from the sixth chapter of the book of Joshua. And I'll be reading verses 1 through 6, and then I'll skip down to verse 20. I invite you to follow along if you so desire. Joshua 6, verses 1 through 6, and verse 20. Hear now the word of the Lord. Now the gates of Jericho were securely barred because of the Israelites. No one went in and no one came out. Then the Lord said to Joshua, "See, I have delivered Jericho into your hands, along with its king and its fighting men. March around the city once with all the armed men. Do this for 6 days. Have 7 priests carry trumpets of ram's horns in front of the ark. On the 7th day, march around the city 7 times with the priests blowing the trumpets. When you hear them sound a long blast on the trumpets, have the whole army give a loud shout. Then the wall of the city will collapse and the army will go up, everyone straight in." So Joshua, son of Nun, called the priests and said to them, "Take up the ark of the covenant of the Lord and have 7 priests carry trumpets in front of it. When the trumpets sounded, the army shouted, and at the sound of the trumpet, when the men gave a loud shout, the wall collapsed. So everyone charged straight in, and they took the city." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. And just because they dim the lights, that does not mean it's nap time, okay? God's victory, our inheritance. God's victory, our inheritance. What does that really mean? It simply means that because of the victory that Jesus Christ achieved over the power of sin and death on the cross, you and I have received a great inheritance. And that inheritance is imperishable. It is eternal. It is everlasting. It is never ending. And every now and then, we need a reminder that it is through our obedience that we receive our inheritance from God. And one area of difficulty for some of us in our Christian life is to get to the place where we are prepared to admit that we cannot do all things by ourselves. When we reach the place of obedience, where we surrender all to Him, He brings spiritual power, He brings victory, and He brings blessings into our lives. In short, He turns what can appear to be a failure into a triumph. And if we are honest with ourselves, we come to find every now and then that there are moments when we have to place things in God's hand. There are some circumstances that we have to place in God's hand. There are some people that we have to place in God's hands. And there are some issues that we have to place in God's hand. Why? Because many of us can testify that there have been times in our lives when we have found ourselves unable to handle on our own some of the stuff that has come our way. And that times in your future and in my future, we may find ourselves dealing with challenging issues. And when that happens, I want you to remember what went down in Joshua chapter 6. For the children of Israel in Joshua chapter 6 find themselves in a circumstance that they had to place in God's hand. Come with me, if you will, to Jericho, where we find the children of Israel have been delivered out of bondage from Egypt. The Lord had made a way for them through the Red Sea. The Lord kept them with manna from on high and water while they were in the wilderness. And here they are on the brink of their promised land. Moses was dead, but God was still faithful. God was about to fulfill a promise that he made to Abraham years prior, that his descendants would occupy the promised land of Canaan. And here in Joshua 6, the children of Israel stand ready to move into their promised land. But the problem was that Canaan was already occupied, which meant that the cities would have to be conquered before they could move in. And the very first city that they had to deal with was Jericho. And we all know about Jericho and the walls from my Sunday school. You know that song, which I'm not going to sing, about the walls coming tumbling down. And there stood the children of Israel in front of this wall. And it did not take them long to realize they had a problem. Jericho was well fortified. And to make matters worse for these Israelites, not only were these walls high, but the soldiers of Jericho were experienced. They knew how to defend their city. But hey, here comes the Israelites. And look at the military experience and the weaponry that they bring with them. They had been delivered out of slavery. They had never fought a battle in their lives. They had no military experience. They had no weapons compared to the army of Jericho. They didn't have any of the four S's. They didn't have a spear, a sword, a slingshot, or even a straw to shoot spitballs through. And here they were against the soldiers and against the wall, while at the same time lacking weaponry and lacking experience in physical combat. But they had God. So while the Israelites were looking at this impassable wall, God shows up, and watch what he says. I'm going to give it to you in my translation, okay? God says, "Joshua, don't sweat the wall. Don't sweat the soldiers. I got this. Just put it in my hand. Tell Israel that even though the wall is above them, it is not above me. And I still have the situation in hand." So God tells Joshua to put the wall situation in his hand, and he will handle that wall. But there was a catch. There was something that God wanted the people to do for him. And he gave them instructions that he wanted carried out. God says, "I want you to take a tour around the wall and march." Why? Because he wanted them to see what they had to deal with. God told Joshua that for 6 days, he wanted them to get up and take a walk around the wall once each day. But on the seventh day, he said, "Go around there 7 times. Some scholars suggest that God wanted them to walk around the wall for investigation, for exploration, and possibly to test their obedience to his command. Others say it was so that they could see what they were up against. Think about it. After the first, or if you're slow, after the second walk, they should have known what they needed to know. And that simply was that the wall was bigger than them. But why did the Lord want them to walk around the wall 13 times in total? Could one reason be that God wanted them to see the obstacle clearly, which was in front of them? Could God have wanted them to get a clear picture of how big and how massive that wall was? Could God have wanted them to know beyond the shadow of a doubt that they could not bring this wall down by themselves? And so in obedience to God, they got up on the first day and took that walk. And at some point, I believe they were honest with themselves and came to the conclusion that they could not break through on their own. They realized they couldn't scale or climb over the wall by themselves. They realized that the wall was bigger than them and stronger than them, and that this wall had never been taken down prior to this time. And that was exactly where God wanted them to be. He wanted them to be in a place where they would realize that the wall was not going to come down by their power. So that when he brought the wall down, they would not walk in arrogance and think that they did it on their own. You and I have walls in our lives as well. Every once in a while, God wants to give us a clear clarity, clear picture about what we cannot do on our own. And maybe sometimes when we look at those walls that surround us, when we look at those situations that come up against us, when we look at those challenges that stand in the way of our progress and our forward movement, when we look at those barriers that stand between us and our promise and our destiny, we find that these walls, these circumstances, these situations, these barriers appear to grow bigger and take on a life of their own. And when we walk around the walls that surround our life situations, we may hope to see them from different vantage points as we walk. And as we look for solutions that will benefit us, we sometimes find that the results remain the same. And for some of us, it has been at those times when we realize that we can't handle some things on our own, regardless of how many people we know and who we know. And it's those moments when we understand that everything is not in our power alone. It is in those moments when God makes a way out of no way, and he brings the walls of barriers down in our lives, when he brings us through the storms and through the difficulties of life, that is when we can testify that if it had not been for the Lord who was on our side, we would not have overcome what we overcame. The Lord wants us to see when we can't handle things, so that when those situations are moved out of our way, we should be clear about who did it. The Lord wanted the Israelites to see the challenge and to see the problem that they had to deal with. And in obedience, they kept showing up day after day to walk around that wall, even when they saw nothing happening. And there's a lesson in that for you and I, because there may be some times in our lives when we need to realize that avoidance does not always lead to deliverance. God wanted them to show up at the wall and to do what he instructed them to do. And the same can be said for you and I. We cannot pray about something or for something and then run from it. We have to show up. We can't run from what it is that has placed barriers around us. Why? Because the victory over that barrier or that situation has already been won. And the victory belongs not to us, but to the Lord. And from that victory comes our inheritance. And when we understand this, and when we truly believe this, we can acknowledge the victory as belonging to God. And since we are the children of God, we can walk in that victory as it is our inheritance, even if that victory doesn't look the way that we hoped it would look. God told the Israelites, and since there are no children in here right now, I'll put it this way. God told the Israelites to show up and shut up. It's in the Bible. The Lord said that he wanted them to walk and not say a word. For 6 days, I want you to walk around that wall and watch your mouth. Why? Because they talked too much. Remember their history since they left slavery. They were always running their mouths. They were either thirsty or hungry or frustrated or this or that. And they wanted to walk and complain. And Lord was like, no, hush. Don't say a word. Then why would the Lord instruct them not to say a word? Could it be because they were just like some folks that you and I know? Not you, but maybe the person sitting next to you. Every time they had walked along that journey so far, there was always someone who had something negative to say. can you just picture, man, this wall is tall. Man, this wall is thick. This wall would never come down. Who led us to this anyway? Who voted for this? I didn't sign up for this. I'm hungry. I'm thirsty. It's hot. My feet hurt. And the Lord said, just show up, be obedient, and shut up. And that is why this serves as a lesson to you and I today, because we can negatively impact the victories that we should be enjoying as part of our inheritance by what comes out of our mouths. The Bible says in Proverbs 18:21 that life or death is in the power of the tongue. Those things that we speak can void God's vision for us. What we say can delete what God is trying to do in our lives and in our situations. We have to be careful what comes out of our mouths. So my friends, God instructs us sometimes to be quiet, because our negative talk can diminish the victory that God wants to bring to us. It's one thing to be in a place to think that something is impossible. But what we ought to say until we believe is that with God, all things are possible. It's one thing to think something negative will never end, but we ought to confess that weeping endures for a night, but joy comes in the morning. We may think we are outnumbered, but we ought to say, greater is he who is in me than he who is in the world. We have to watch our mouths. We cannot and should not kill our victories because of our mouths. The next time we are tempted to complain or to say something negative or to say what we feel can't be, here's all we have to do. Look at that situation as if you are looking at a physical wall. Look up as if you're looking over that wall and just say, it's above me now. And turn it over to Jesus. Because we can't turn something over to Jesus and then keep saying what is not going to happen. We can't put something in God's hand while at the same time saying that it can't be so. We can't say that we trust God while talking negative about what God has called us to do. The Lord told the children of Israel to show up to the wall, march, and be quiet, and do that for 6 days. But on the seventh day, he told them to do something different. He said on the seventh day, he wanted them to line up, to get the trumpets, and to march around 7 times. And oh, by the way, I want the trumpet players to play as they are marching. And on the seventh time, I want them to blow a loud blast. And when that blast is sounded, Joshua, I want the military to shout. Joshua, tell your military soldiers that I want them to open their mouths and shout. And I want them to do it before the wall comes down. God wanted the praise before he delivered the blessing. My friends, even while we have walls, barriers, situations, and challenges in our lives, we can still praise God. We can praise him before he moves those obstacles out of our way. We can praise him while we are knee-deep in our situations. We can praise him because he is good all the time, not only after we see the outcome that we want to see. The Bible says that when they began to shout and when they began to give God glory, the walls began to shake and the ground began to move. Listen, our praise literally activates God's promises. We may be waiting on God to do something. God may be waiting on us. Can you praise him for who he is, even as a wall stands in front of you, even as an obstacle stands in your way, even as a challenge is before you? Can you praise him? Can you give him glory? Can you give God thanks even before he answers the prayer, even if you aren't sure he's going to answer it the way that you presented it to him. Can you do that? Can I do that? Will we do that? The Lord told Joshua, take a walk around the wall. And before the wall even came down, this is what God said to him. He said, I've already given it to you. Joshua had to trust that it was in God's hand, even as he was looking at that wall, even as he was looking at the obstacle, even as he was looking at the challenge. Can you bless the Lord even if he has not removed that wall that separates you from your promise? Will you continue to walk in the path that the Lord has placed in front of you? Will you tell God yes to his instruction? This week, I want us to think about that as we go through our week, because some of us are going to be hit with challenges. And I want you to look at that challenge, whatever it may be. I want you to look at it as if you're looking at a wall. And look above it and realize and say, God, it's in your hands. It's above me, but it's still below you. Because on the other side of that wall, on the other side of that challenge, may be a blessing. Will you tell God yes? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the lessons from Joshua, Lord. Thank you for the reminder that in this Christian walk that we have, sometimes the walk is not pleasant. Sometimes there are situations, potholes, things that get into our way. But Lord, none of that is above you. So we thank you for that reminder. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray, amen.